Well, I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. We did in my house. We've talked about this as staff this year. That was the latest that Thanksgiving can occur in the calendar. So this year we made this really quick shift. I saw people doing it over the weekend from Thanksgiving to Christmas. It's almost like a jolt. I hope you didn't get whiplash from it, but it's, you know, put away the turkey and pull out Christmas. But I don't think that's a bad thing this year, this quick transition, because I think we need the hope and joy of Christmas this season, and we're going to be processing that as we move through this journey together over the next 4 weeks. I wanted to just kind of pause and take a little bit of window into what the season, kind of a summary of the season in some ways. So I'm going to invite you to look at the screen. Let's take a look.
This is a time for bright lights to fill the sky, for wonder, joy, and celebration. This is the time for families to make the long journey home, bursting with anticipation. This is when unexpected visitors arrive with gifts beyond anything we could imagine. When songs fill the air and hope fills our hearts for miracles ready to happen. This is the fulfillment of centuries of promise that sages of ages past long to see. A distant God who chose to dwell among his people. A king arriving as a baby. Tiny hands destined to one day heal the sick and feet that will walk on water. Wrapped up tight in swaddling clothes, held close by his tired mother. This is love and color and life and peace and feasting, forgiveness and generosity, glorious, victorious hope for the world with limitless possibility, all rolled up in one tiny fragile gift, so much more than it seems on the surface. This is Jesus. This is Christmas.
Can you take a deep breath with me with that? I just want to breathe it in, right? And I hope that you're able to do that in the season. It's just to kind of pause. The quote from that video, hope for the world with limitless possibilities. This is Jesus. This is Christmas. And that's going to be our focus as we breathe deeply in the season. I hope that you're able to grasp this gift in this season. Today, we begin the season's journey with our series that we've entitled God's Abundance. God's Abundance. And it's a time for us to focus on the abundant love of God as it unfurls, like that video kind of gave the spirit of, from heaven to earth into our hearts, shaping our lives, giving us the joys that only God can bring to us. The Old Testament reading that we had this morning, the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 43 says this, I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to do a new thing. Do you perceive it? And this Advent season, it actually within the Christian year, it begins the Christian year. We are at the first of the year in the Christian cycle today. It starts a new thing. So I want you to think about the new thing that you might need in Christ this season. The reality that God is doing something new, and that is a gift to us of the divine abundance of God's love that we can only find in Jesus. So we're going to talk about that this season. It offers us an opportunity. This season offers us an opportunity. We say it's a season of preparation to bring us back to center, to remind us of our rootedness in Christ, right? And to find our purpose once more in him and the gift that Jesus brings. The series I mentioned it last week, and I commended this devotional to you from Walter Brueggemann. I don't know if we have a picture of that book. Yeah, our series is God's Abundance. His book is Celebrating Abundance. We'll use a little bit of Brueggemann in the series. Brueggemann says this of Advent preparation. He says, Advent is preparation for the demands of newness that will break the tired patterns of fear in our lives. You want to read that with me? Let's read that together. Advent is preparation for the demands of newness that will break the tired patterns of fear in our lives. That quote has to make you think about, what fear do I have, right? What am I afraid of? Well, I'll tell you, over the past several weeks, I've been hearing a lot of fears. Barbara named some of them as we just look at the reality of the world when we came to prayer time. And maybe you have some fears right within your own family. I've heard your fears pre- and post-election. I've heard anxieties raise pre- and post-election. Advent and the gift of Jesus brings the demands of a newness into our lives that addresses our fears. It addresses our fears because with Jesus, we receive the one who speaks peace to every storm. Every storm. We receive the one who says, cast your anxieties on me, all of them, because I care for you. That's what we receive in this season. We receive God's abundance made known to us in Jesus Christ. That's the gift. Yet, Brueggemann also writes this. He writes, Advent is not the kind of preparation that involves shopping and parties and cards. Such illusions of abundance disguise the true cravings of our weary souls. There's a weariness in the soul in many of our lives right now. And there's a danger in the season. So as we start, I want to speak a little bit to the illusion of abundance. And we're going to be balancing that up against God's abundance in this season. Now, before you shut me out, when you hear this, you know, this shopping parties and cards, if you're a Christmas lover, I'm not going to be, you know, destroying your Christmas this morning. So don't think that. Don't go to this place in your mind. Move with me as we're talking about the difference between abundance that we lay out and God's abundance. And I'll come back to a place where I promise that you'll still be okay with Christmas and all the celebration that it brings. I do want to hit a little bit on what we see, though, what we see in the season. I kind of want to pivot back to our idea of abundance. So I looked at a little bit of data for this season, and I was out with my daughter. My kids had been home for the holiday, and I went shopping with some of them the other day, and just for an hour, and it was a little crazy. What I'm hearing is that we are in a place of a little bit more abundance, regardless of what we say. There's an expectation within all the folks that do economics that there's going to be greater spending this season and compared to recent years, somewhere between a 3.5% and a 7% increase. I pulled some stats, so let's just look at these real quickly, and I'm doing this to put some perspective. So we'll just roll down. Shoppers are expected to spend, so we're expecting an increase over 2023 by 7%. I thought that was amazing. You'll see that next one, 26% of shoppers plan to increase their budgets, and some planning to spend over $3,000 in the season. There's another bullet that says millennials are feeling more comfortable. I just thought this was interesting. Millennials are expecting to spend 22% over previous year. I don't know what that's about. It's just in some of the data. And then 80% of us, we plan to purchase gifts and food during the season. It's just what we do. Is there's this consumption, there's this abundance. You know this. Now, the point here is when we look at this and we look at what Brueggemann says, is that the stuff of Christmas can give us the illusion of abundance as we increase, as we're in a season now where we've come through some stress and there's been some angst, and now we're expected because of whatever forces to spend a little bit more. And so I want you to think about Christmas abundance for a little bit from our perspective, from a worldly perspective, maybe something you saw in doing some of your Black Friday or Saturday shopping. I searched this up. I just did a quick search of like Christmas abundance and very quickly landed on a story that was repeated. This is from a few years ago. It's actually not America, it's Europe. But I wanted to show you this. It's about a mother in Europe who, let's take a look at her Christmas tree. I hope your tree doesn't look like that. And I'm not, like, I'm not bashing anybody, but this mother, she apparently, she has three children, just three kids. She doesn't have 97 kids. She has three kids. And she buys each of those kids 80 to 100 gifts every season, every Christmas season. This is her shopping frantically. That's her. This is real news stories on her. There's video on her. And then there's a picture of one of her teenagers who, when they interviewed her, he said, like, it's really hard for us. This is like way after Christmas to use all this stuff that mom buys for us. So I put that in front of you. It's an extreme, right? You know where you fit in those stats. You know where you fit in this idea of abundance in this season. But the rising rate of this stuff, the frenzy with Christmas, we can take her down. Poor girl. She's trying to figure out where to put all that stuff. You know, it just makes me wonder. It makes me wonder how we get from all those good, like, desires and feelings that we have for the season that we started with, that the video, the Jesus piece, to that tree and that lady's idea of abundance, our idea of abundance. Let's take a look at that contrast. Maybe, there we go. How do we get from this gift of Jesus to that? And again, I'm not knocking any one individual. There's a lot of examples. I just did a quick search. This was kind of in the top of my searching on a particular day. But does it make you wonder too? Does it make you wonder this humble baby that the angel Gabriel in our New Testament reading, you know, it just comes and speaks to this young woman and says, this is going to be this gift. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, and he's going to have a kingdom without end. And in some way, our abundance has entered into the story in a real strange way. We can take that down now. Gabriel says to Mary, do not fear. Remember, Brueggemann says that our fears a lot of times propel our illusion of abundance. But Gabriel comes to Mary and he says, do not fear. You're going to be given this gift. And his kingdom will have no limit. Now, Mary, you know the story, most of you. Mary's confused by this all at first. And he pretty simply, in my opinion, explains to her with her questions, what's going to happen? And Mary, in faithfulness, just says, let it be. Let it be with me according to your word. Let this gift come to me. Let this gift come to the world. Just let it be. Let what you speak of be. In our illusions of abundance, of what can save us from our fears. And I think sometimes what will give us all the things that our Advent candles represent, hope and joy and peace and love, our abundance gets in the way. Our idea of abundance gets in the way. And when it does, we miss the point. We miss the point of kneeling our hearts at the manger of Jesus. We miss the point. Our illusion of abundance in the season, our desire to push back on the things in the world that scare us and to grab some joy and to grab some hope and peace and love, it gets in the way. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't do gifts. That doesn't mean that you don't decorate beautifully. That doesn't mean that you don't send the cards and feast in the name of Jesus. We do that. What it does mean is that we keep it all in perspective. That we pull it back with each thing that we do, with each thing that we do, each element of our traditions and our celebrations, and we focus on the why of the season. The why of the season. Perspective changes an outlook, right? Or we get in that place that we just keep stacking up more. And when we do that, then we would neglect things like our Christmas Eve offering and our service during the season and our commitment to the way of Christ. We miss things. There's a story about a young John Wesley. For those of you that are new to us, John Wesley was the founder of our denomination. And Wesley was in seminary at Oxford. He was studying at Oxford, and he was out one night in the winter. It was cold, and he ran into one of the Oxford College porters. And this man was known for being a pious man. It was a cold evening, and Wesley observed this porter wearing kind of a threadbare coat on a cold night. And Wesley says to the porter, he says, you know, shouldn't you, with the weather, shouldn't you go home and put on a warmer coat? And he was kind of urging him to do that. And Wesley writes of the story. And the porter says to him, he says, I thank God for this coat that I possess. And Wesley just kind of looked at him in that moment. And then the porter continued, and he says, I thank God for the water that I've drank today, because that's been my only drink of the day. And Wesley said, you know, inquiringly, he said, well, what else are you thankful for? And he said back to him, he said, I'm thankful for the warm stones that I will sleep on tonight. And Wesley kept being intrigued. He says, tell me more. What more are you thankful for? And this porter Wesley wrote said to him, I thank him that he has given me my life and my being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him. And the young Wesley went home that night in the cold, and he journaled about this a night into the next morning, saying this was a formative moment in his faith, of where he understood the contrast between possessions and what someone has and the true gift of Christ. That contrast, that impact of the gift of Jesus up against his ideas of what the man should have had. That really boils down the why of Christmas. We give, we celebrate, we do all that we do, which is wonderful. I love Christmas. My daughter and I were driving around together this weekend just saying, we love Christmas. We're looking at people's lovely decorations, but it's so important for us to remember in the season that it is not about your abundance this season. It's about God's. It's not about how many people come. It's not about how many gifts are under the tree or how big the spread is or how many messages or cards you receive. It's not about your idea of what an abundant, joy-filled, peace-filled, hope-filled Christmas is. It's about God's idea for you and for your family. And there's a danger, and this is why we're starting in this place. There's a danger when there's been a stretch. There's a danger when there's been stress about and all this stuff that we've been talking about in recent weeks, things that make us afraid, things that raise angst in us. There's a danger for us to try to create Christmas. And I'm here today to tell you, you can't do that. You can't force it. Y'all know, I don't need to tell you, you can't buy it. You can't strategically plan it. You can't borrow it from someone. You just can't. What you do is you receive it. You receive this gift of God's amazing love made known to you and yours in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, when you're really able to kneel your heart and your life at the manger, that's when the abundance comes. And that's when you're ready and you're willing then to embrace being a part of the loving abundance and hope and joy and peace that he yields for the whole world, right? That's not about anything you can plan and do over the next few weeks. Do the things, you know, do the traditions. My family has those, but keep it in perspective. And remember, there's just a danger this season. Remember that the prophet Isaiah says, God is doing a new thing. And he asks, can you perceive it? Can you perceive it? Wesley, that night, looking at that man, it took him a little bit to perceive God at work in his life. He was looking at the exterior things the man had, this coat. And Wesley saw his heart. Christmas is about perceiving. Perceiving where Jesus is, where the miracle of this gift of Christ is, and stepping in that direction and becoming a part of that gift. Can you perceive it? All of our preparations should allow us to perceive this abundant, divine gift of Jesus Christ. To perceive that Jesus is at work still transforming the world just like he was centuries ago when that star rose over Bethlehem. To perceive that his kingdom is breaking forth, that kingdom that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, for which it has no end. There is no end. So if you have those fears going into this season, if you have worries and concerns, or maybe it's the finance piece that you're worried about, the kingdom of Christ covers all that. To perceive that in this world where there are weary souls and broken hearts, and where on some days it seems like the world can be pretty mean, to perceive that there is an unconditional love that rolls forth from that manger to the present moment, and that love is inclusive, and that love is forgiving, and that love is for you and for me. To perceive that the poor and the widows and the outcasts and the orphans can find embrace and hope in this life. To perceive that there is an embrace for them and to step in the direction of that embrace and to be a part of it. To perceive that the isolated, the addicted, and the lonely are longing for this gift. And when we have that perception, to step into places where those things exist and to be the very hands and feet and voice of that babe in the manger that grew to be our Savior. One of my favorite poets, I think I've mentioned her before here, is Anne Weems. Anne writes a lot about the Advent, and she has a poem called The Christmas Spirit. I wanted to share it with you this morning. Kind of captures what we're talking about. Anne writes, "The Christmas spirit is that hope which tenaciously clings to the hearts of the faithful and announces in the face of any Herod this world can produce and all the indoors slammed in our faces and all the dark nights of our souls that with God all things are possible. And that even now, unto us, a child is born." Thanks be to God, my goodness. Friends, this is Christmas spirit. This is God's divine abundance longing to seep into your hearts, into your family, into your home, into your celebration, really into all your days, not just Christmas. To know, like that angel Gabriel said to Mary, that all things are possible with this Christ. The hope of Christmas, and this year in 2024, it's actually held in us. It's held in us, the people who follow this way of Christ, when we're willing to truly receive him and live his ways in this season and for all of our days. That's as powerful as it was on that day when the star did rise over the hills of Bethlehem and lead the wise and the longing and the outcast right to him. It's there in this season. It's there today. And this is our hope. We have the candle of hope. This is our hope. This is our hope, this humble gift that has no end. And so my question for you this morning, as you begin to ready your heart and mind to receive Holy Communion, to start this journey together, is can you perceive this gift? Are you willing to enter into this kind of abundance this season? The one that causes you maybe to lay some things down and maybe pick some other things up. And maybe open up wide to embrace in ways that you have not before, to take some steps and to be right on the edge and to not fear, because his perfect love cast out all fear. Thanks be to God. Amen.